Good morning. We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning, and we appreciate you tuning in each Sunday morning for this program. If you'd like to get your Bible, in just a moment we will be turning to the Scriptures for our lesson, and this morning we want to answer the question, what is the greatest thing in all of the earth? What is the greatest thing in all of the earth? And so we hope that you'll benefit from this study this morning. This program is brought to you by the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ, and if you would like to come visit our service, if you'll contact us, we would be glad to help you get a ride to the service. We want you to have an opportunity to come worship with us and experience New Testament Christianity, and if we can help you get to the church building, it's located conveniently right in Springfield, we'd be glad to help you do that. Please contact us. This morning we want to look at the question, what is the greatest thing in all of the earth? And when we think of that question, one thing that might come to mind is maybe some of the physical wonders of the earth, such as the Grand Canyon or the beautiful islands of Hawaii, or maybe Niagara Falls or something along those lines. Maybe we have something in our mind, Mount Everest. There are highs and lows all around the world, and many of those things are very beautiful. The Amazon rainforest. Is it the physical wonders of the earth? No, that's not the greatest thing. Something else that might be coming to mind would be the technological advancements of men. We've been able to put a man on the moon, and we can go out in space, and we can live in space for an extended period of time. There have been man-made cures for various kinds of diseases. And we have medical technology. We have science technology. And there are great advancements. We can travel around the world with ease. We have a great set of advancements in the area of communication. We've got the World Wide Web. We've got cell phones and computers. All kinds of technology that help us in our lives. Is that the greatest thing in the earth? I would say no to that as well. Someone might be thinking, well, maybe it's the great philosophies of men or the sacrifices of great individuals. Sometimes people think about the philosophies of Plato and Aristotle or the wisdom of Buddha and Confucius. There might be individuals who have done things for humanity, maybe like Mother Teresa or Gandhi, individuals like that. And while we appreciate the great sacrificial deeds of men and women, those things would not be the greatest thing on the earth. Someone might think, well, the greatest thing on the earth, it would be the gifts that individuals give, maybe different philanthropists. You think of somebody like Bill Gates or somebody who's very wealthy, and then they give a lot of money to charity. Maybe that would be considered the greatest thing in all the earth. But like all these other things that we've discussed, even the gifts of men and women are not the greatest thing. This morning we want to look at seven great things on the earth. And they don't involve physical wonders or the technologies of men. They involve spiritual things that involve our relationship with God. First of all, I want to talk about the greatest possession in all of the earth. The greatest possession in all of the earth. It's not some material item that can be bought with money. It's not a house or a car or a diamond ring or any kind of material possession. The greatest possession in all the earth is the soul that you have inside of you and that I have inside of me. The soul of man is the greatest possession in all of the earth because it has the greatest potential for good. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, when we die, the body returns to the dust of the earth and our soul returns to God who gave it. Our soul is given to us when we're born by God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, not to fear those who can harm the body, but fear God who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 26, what does it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? Our soul, the spirit of us inside, is the greatest possession that we have, and we need to take care of it. We need to bring it into a right relationship with God by obeying His Son, Jesus Christ. I think about Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. There was a rich farmer who spent a lot of his time growing his crops and building barns and bigger barns. And there's nothing wrong with being successful in business, but he neglected his soul. He did not take care of his soul. And so in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, Jesus, teaching the parable of the rich farmer, said, this night is thy soul required of thee. And whose shall these things be? These physical things that he had, when he died, he couldn't take them with him, and his life was not right with God. And so we need to think about our soul and making sure that the greatest possession we own is in a right relationship with God. James writes in James 1 and 21 that we are to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. God's word saves us. It removes that sin from our soul and puts us in a right relationship with Him. And Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 that we have purified our souls in our obedience to the truth. And so, friend, the greatest possession that you own is not something sitting around your house. It's not what's parked out in the driveway. It's what's inside of you right now, your soul and my soul. And we need to take care of that. And a lot of times people will go around and they will take care of their physical possessions. They'll make sure that they're clean and kept up properly, and they'll polish them and they'll clean them and they'll protect them and they'll put money into all of these physical things. And yet they neglect their soul, the greatest possession that they have. And so when we talk about coming to worship God and reading our Bible and assembling on the Lord's Day with the Lord's church, that's not just something that we say in order to get money or to get numbers. Those are things involved in taking care of our greatest possession, our soul. How well are you doing that, friend? Do you need help taking care of your soul? Do you need to bring your soul in a right relationship with God? Let us help you do that as we study God's Word together. That's the greatest possession. Number two, what is the greatest problem that we face in all of the world? What is the greatest problem? Some might think that the greatest problem would be something like world hunger or poverty or climate control or the ozone layer or lack of education or health care, natural disasters, overpopulation, the national debt. Things like that might come to somebody's mind when they're thinking about some of the greatest problems that we face today. But the greatest problem of all has nothing to do with those things. The greatest problem is sin. Sin. The sin of mankind. And the reason it is the greatest problem, it has the greatest potential of harm. When men and women live in sin, they do great and terrible and harmful things to themselves and others. We see that even in the headlines today with all of the wars and the terrorism and the harm and the hurting. That's all coming from sin. Sin is just simply a violation of God's word. And when we do that, when we disobey God, we sin, and it causes the greatest problems. And it started back in the garden with the devil and Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and following, when they were told not to eat of the fruit. They did that anyway. They sinned. They were cast out of the garden. Sin separates, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Sin separates us from God. Paul writes in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we're born pure and innocent. Ecclesiastes 7:29, we're born upright. But after we get older, we make that choice to do what is wrong, and we choose to sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. That is spiritual death. We're going to be separated from God. Well, what exactly is sin? Is it just simply when we do something that man doesn't like or that culture doesn't like. No, sin is a violation or a transgression of God's word. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is lawlessness. It is a transgression when we act without God's authority. We might do something that he says not to do, or we might fail to do something that he says to do. But either way, whether it is a sin that we commit or a sin where we omit what we need to do, it is sin. It's a transgression of God's word. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, sin is unrighteousness. And so when we violate God's word, we sin, and that is the greatest problem in all of the world. Number 3, what is the greatest price that has ever been paid? Some might think the greatest price paid was for some expensive item like a car or a large mansion or a yacht or something where someone could spend millions or maybe even billions of dollars for some material object, but that's not the greatest price that has ever been paid. The greatest price that has ever been paid is the price that Jesus shed when he shed his blood on the cross. And the reason that Jesus' blood is the greatest price ever paid, it has the greatest ability to cleanse. Jesus said he shed his blood for the sins of the world in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. It was the blood of Jesus shed on the cross that gives all mankind the opportunity to have forgiveness of sins. We are justified and we are saved through his blood. Romans chapter 3, verse 29. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. We have been reconciled and brought together with him through his blood. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and washes away our sin. We have to contact that blood in baptism. And that's how we do that. But it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. We have been washed through the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And even after we become Christians, if sin is in our life, we can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus if we will confess our sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 17. And Peter describes the blood of Jesus as the precious blood. We have been redeemed, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. We have been redeemed not with corruptible things, with silver or gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. And so the greatest price that has ever been paid is Jesus' price paid in giving his own life and shedding his blood for the sins of the world. Number 4, what is the greatest power that has ever been made? What is the greatest power? Some would answer that question that it might be some natural power, the power that is created with a tornado or the power that is created with a hurricane. The power that is created by Niagara Falls, that great body of water that roars over the falls, and there is a electric generating plant just near the falls because that water creates so much power. But the greatest power is not natural. The greatest power is not man-made. It's not anything that man has made. Sometimes I think of the atomic accelerators that men have made to smash the atoms. And that is a very powerful thing. Nuclear power has been made by man in nuclear power plants. And that of course, generates electricity. But there is no power greater than the power of the gospel of truth. Paul writes in Romans 1 and verse 16 that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the greatest power of all because it has the greatest ability to enlighten and liberate us from sin. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, it is the power of God, and he uses the Greek word there, dunamis, from which we get dynamite. Think of that explosive power of dynamite. The gospel saves us. We had mentioned earlier, James chapter 1 and verse 27, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And so the gospel saves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about the gospel there being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and him being witnessed by the eyewitnesses. And he writes in verse 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 15 that the gospel preached to you, wherein you received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. And so the gospel saves. And we need to understand that it has the power to change mankind. And the reason that it is the greatest power of all, it can change the conscience of man. It can change the will of man. It can take a grave sinner like Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted Christians and had them put in prison, the greatest of all sinners, and can turn him around 180 degrees and turn him into the greatest person serving Christ. And you take terrible individuals and gross individuals and individuals who do very bad things, the gospel has the power to turn them around and change them and save them. And they go out doing good. They put off that old man in baptism. They're raised to walk in newness of life. They're new creatures in Christ. They're a completely different individual. And that was done by the power of the gospel, the greatest power of all. Number five, what is the greatest principle, the greatest ruling principle in all of the earth? You can go to a bookstore and you go to the self-help section and you read about utilizing your maximum potential. You can read about self-preservation and how to be the best that you can be. And different man-made principles are set forth in the books there, how you can change your life and how you can change the world and different things like that. And some of it is actually built on biblical principles. Some of it is built on human wisdom. But the greatest principle is not something that man has come up with. I remember back in the 1980s, there were those who were a part of what was called a New Age movement, which was basically a combination of Eastern religion and other man-made philosophies, where people like Shirley MacLaine and others were saying that each of you is God inside of you. Each of us is God inside of us, and we have the potential to change the universe if we will tap in to the divine God or the divine spark of light inside of each and every one of us. And these are just simply man-made things. The greatest principle is love. The reason it has the greatest capacity to change the world for good. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And look at what that has done to the world. Look at how we have been changed through Jesus Christ. Many have not, and there are many more who need to come to him. But those who have been, you can see that change. And it was because God so loved the world. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 15, verses 12 and 13. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And a second likened unto this, to love our neighbor as ourself. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. Love is the greatest and outlasts all other things. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, Paul says, the greatest of these things is love. And so we need to understand that the greatest principle is love. Now, love is the Greek word agape, which means to sacrifice and serve for someone else. It doesn't mean just simply a sentiment where you like someone or you have a warm, fuzzy feeling about someone. Love is a sacrificial service. Notice again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love gives. Love sacrifices and serves for others. And that is what causes the greatest capacity to change the world for good. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, if you can remember John 3:16, you can remember 1 John 3:16. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. But listen to 1 John 3:16. Hereby know we love because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so Jesus laid down his life out of love, and we need to be willing to lay down our lives for others out of that same great principle, love. The greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. Number 6, what is the greatest people? Who are the greatest people in all of the earth? You know, we have Time Magazine usually at the end of the year. We'll have a special, the 100 greatest persons on the earth, and they have their list and their criteria. A lot of times when people think of the greatest people on the earth, they think of people who are rich, people who are famous, people who are altruistic or philanthropic. They give to charities. Someone might think of certain world leaders, war generals, presidents, whatever the case might be. But the greatest people in all of the earth, often they just don't make Time Magazine. They don't make that 100 most famous people because they're not recognized as the Lord recognizes them. The greatest people on the earth are members of the Lord's church. And the reason simply is they are the object of Christ's love. God loves all mankind. Jesus loves all mankind. But those who come to obey him are described in the book of Ephesians in a special way. They are beloved. They are the body of Christ. And there are things that are said about them that are special, that are not said about all of the world. For example, in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is all about the church that belongs to Christ, the Lord's church. Not just all the different denominations, but those who truly comply to the Lord's will. And look, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23, the church is described as the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul writes, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross. We are a united body. And then in verses 19 through 21, so then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each individual building, that's each Christian in the Lord's church, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. You see, the Lord's church is described in a special way out of all the people in the earth. They are the household of God. They are the temple of God. They are God's family. The household of God, verse 19. You see, the rest of the world doesn't have that description. In chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul writes that the wisdom of God might be made known through the church, that might be made known through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. We show the world the wisdom of God in the Lord's church, and we invite you to become a member of the Lord's church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one spirit and one body, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And we need to be a part of that one body of Christ. And in chapter 5, with regard to Jesus coming again, we need to be a part of that saved body. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. The Savior of the body. The ones who will be saved in the judgment day are those who are members of his body. Verse 27, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How, Paul, verse 26, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. We have to be baptized into Christ. We have to follow His word, and we will be cleansed from our sin. We'll be a part of that body whom the Lord will save when He comes again. And if you're not a part of that body, let's study together. Let's talk about that. Let's do what we need to do to become a member of the Lord's body, the greatest people on all of the earth, because they are the object of God's love and Christ's love. And then last of all, who is the greatest person in all of the earth? Well, the greatest person is not a man or a woman. The greatest person in all of the universe is God Himself. He is King Most High over all the earth. His court is the supreme court. It is in the heavens. And so we read in certain passages in the book of Psalms, Psalm 47 and Psalm 95, that God is in heaven and He's reigning in heaven. His throne is in heaven and He rules over all mankind. We had a lesson on the Let the Bible Speak program just a few weeks ago that God sits on a throne. But we read, for example, in Psalm 47 in verse 7, for God is king over all the earth. Verse 8, God reigneth over the nations. God sitteth upon His holy throne. And so God is the supreme court. And we will have to face Him in judgment day. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 15, the whole of man is to fear God and keep His commandments, because He's going to bring every work into judgment. We have to face God. We are naked and laid open before Him. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, there is no creature that can hide from Him. We are all naked, and laid open before Him. And so we need to bring our life into conformity to God's Word and God's will. In the last day, in the judgment day, the books will be opened. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged by those things that are written in the books according to our deeds. And in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 13, John writes, I saw a great throne, and Him that sat on it, that's God, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Friends, we need to make sure that we are right with God. He's the greatest person. He sits on a throne and He will judge us. Well, our time is up. We appreciate you joining us for the Let the Bible Speak program this morning. We're talking about the greatest thing in all of the earth. The greatest possession, our soul. The greatest problem, our sin. The greatest price paid was for our salvation. The greatest power is the gospel contained in the scripture. The greatest principle, our love. The greatest people, the brotherhood, the members of the Lord's body and His church. The greatest person, our Maker, God in heaven. And if we can help you to bring your life into conformity to God's word and will, come visit us, or if you'd like to set up a home Bible study, we would be glad to talk with you. Thank you, and have a good day.